Three mysterious YouTube channels. Well, two are solved, or are they? The third remains anomalous. I could add the Markovian parallax denigrid, A858, and Cicada 3301. Also, the doggy meme and doggy coin for the way they appear to be emblems of the abstraction in cryptocurrency and underlying the net in general. Wasting and wasted on information, I keep watching, even if I know the answers. My investment in these channels flows without resolution. The cool, dissipative surface of the videos is its own mystery. Through the blot of the screen, I imagine an impossible community. None of us watching the screen, which is indeed a community we all share today across this heavily monitored world. No, an absent community through the noir matter of the depths of the net. This is not a face-to-face community, but imaginary in Benedict Anderson's sense, formed on bulletin boards, especially Reddit, expending speculation, labor, and debate to solve the channels. The community treats the channels aesthetically, as elusive and signifying writing. In short, the destination of these anomalous channels is inseparable from the literary, as an example for anomalous and singular appearances on the net. What are the facts? Pronunciation book and WebDriver torso are solved, while unfavorable semicircle remains mysterious. Are people familiar with these three channels? Pronunciation book, unfavorable semicircle, WebDriver torso? I'll explain them. Pronunciation book and unfavorable semicircle are no longer active, the first having completed its project, as it were, and the second mysteriously taken down from YouTube without any information as to why beyond notice of multiple terms of service violations. WebDriver torso, meanwhile, continues to post hundreds of videos every day. All three are YouTube channels, and YouTube, as we know, is a video sharing website in the same way my iPhone is a telephone. I need to force myself not to say YouTube video, to stop fantasizing the YouTube object as a video. Every YouTube channel is an opening to an elsewhere wrapped in a familiar interface, features of play buttons, comment lines, links of related videos. And what comes through this opening? Music, images, old movies, horrors, beauties, faces, animals, clouds, babies, cats, blood, mountains, dead bodies, everything that can upload and play. YouTube is anything, whatever, in a wrapping. YouTube extrudes, it sticks out into the interface from the outside, not videos but part objects, tips or orifices of an exterior. All YouTubes are parts, from the most commercial plug to the most banal video of someone's cat. Our participation and satisfaction in viewing touches this exterior, it's a point or a tease, beyond the scopophilia of watching. The solution to the mystery, the discovery, for example, that pronunciation book is written by dicks and liars, as angry readers declared after the final reveal, which characterizes the videos as both fictional and phallic, allows us to talk about the opening, to address the locate the stimulation these videos bring. The channels brush up and touch up this opening. They involve bait and switch, deflation, dissipation, and cooling of desires for reference, meaning, and investment. To watch the mysterious videos is to absorb mediation, to share in the glow, and to close off the anomalous materials spilling through the opening of YouTube. But the lie or the dick, the performance and the body part are still there, contained but not explained. All three channels signify screens through their organization as YouTube channels, and through the way specific videos simulate and reference televisual or filmic frames and imagery. They also invoke or suggest the form of written characters and a thematics of speaking and writing. All three present characters or marks to be read, and all three in different ways employ a voice in the background, a narrator that reads. Well, what are the channels? Pronunciation Book uploaded 955 videos from April 24th, 2010 to April 24th, 2013. It gained a cult following in the Reddit community and elsewhere, who proclaimed disappointment when the final video on the channel turned out to be a teaser leading viewers to an alternative reality game called Bear Stearns Bravo. Pronunciation Book appeared to be a guide to pronouncing English language words. In this, it shares with other how-to YouTube channels with videos on how to fight a bear or how to tie your shoes. YouTube's content ID system algorithmically recognizes Pronunciation Book in this genre and pushes sponsored ads. You know, you can see here, 79 common mispronunciations. It pushes sponsored links, but also we see some other Benedict Cumberbatch ones here. Push has sponsored links for channels such as Pronunciation Academy and Sojo Exchange, where a typical video explains the difference between American and English pronunciation using words like trouble and travel. So one would expect a pronunciation how-to channel such as Pronunciation Book to focus on second language learning or perhaps on commonly mispronounced words. And Pronunciation Book does include important words such as perhaps and yield. It also includes Benedict Cumberbatch. I can play this one here. Benedict Cumberbatch, it includes $1 million commercial, it includes schadenfreude, and many other uncommon and not especially English words. The videos show the word or phrase to be pronounced, set in a black sans serif font against a white background. The effect is pedagogical and invokes infographics. A typical video, at least in the first year of posting, repeats the word to be pronounced. The first video uploaded is 5 seconds long, it's on how to pronounce ASUS, and it repeats the word 3 times. After about a year of uploads, the videos began to cover longer and more puzzling phrases, such as how to pronounce, help me to escape from this place, or how to pronounce, I'm very sorry you had to see that, chief. The length grew and varied from approximately 5 seconds to over a minute, with the phrases and added words alluding to some sort of narrative. After 3 years and hundreds of videos, the uploads shortened again in length. Abruptly, the videos announced a countdown, stating in video number 77,
something is going to happen in 77 days.
And then the next day a video that stated something is going to happen in 76 days, and the countdown proceeded daily. Some of the countdown videos went well beyond a countdown and a number. Number 7 is a good example, announcing, and who in death are robbed of their worth? Something is going to happen in 7 days. This is one of the many videos suggesting an oblique but never fully articulated narrative, something taking place behind all these videos. Jacob Bakila, the BuzzFeed employee who turned out to be behind the project, declares on his website, by telling a story one phrase or word at a time over the course of 42 months, and by using the most banal and innocent medium, video spam, we sought to force the reevaluation of the traditional structures and limits of written spoken narratives and to challenge the definition of signal and noise. After the countdown, after a video number 1, which declared, I find you in the grace of cyberspace, something is going to happen in 1 day. After this was the final upload, which I think I have here, a video of the text Horse e-books, which directed readers and viewers over 1 million to Horse e-books. Those familiar with Horse e-books, spammy and humorous Twitter account combining viral marketing, basically a viral marketing tool, began to see where things were leading. And the final upload didn't stop here. It goes on. For the first time, there was a person.
It's morning in cyberspace, and the systems are in love.
Final upload did not stop here, but became a very different video, no longer showing the stark black and white infographic, but a live actor, a spokesperson, speaking of a science fiction story, which ultimately pointed to Bear Stearns' Bravo, which turned out to be an interactive video game resetting the 2008 financial crisis in the far future. It proved the terminal point of Pronunciation Book. Those liars and dicks. The fascinating countdown, the allusions to a story, all turned into an artwork vaguely about contemporary capitalism. Now, of course, the idea of a smokescreen of fictions concealing something banal is a common way of explaining and resolving net anomalies. In this theory, the channels probably are viral marketing campaigns for a project, perhaps an artwork or game. Pronunciation's big reveal as a teaser for Bear Stearns' Bravo is the best example of this. And this kind of Rickroll theory reduces the oddness of the channel to a lure. The Rickroll extends beyond simply linking to a video of Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up, and we all are familiar with this. The unexpected link to the video started as a prank on 4chan, the image board and net culture site. The Rickroll is widely recognized as an internet phenomenon that's more than an individual meme. It functions as a syntax, an operation structuring, viewing, and linking. The simplest explanation of a Rickroll is that I click on a link, and the destination I think I'm headed for instead leads me to the Rick Astley video. The lyrics of the video declaring never gonna give you up and so on initially seem at odds with the fact that I've been misdirected and misled or given up. Ashley elaborates all the things he'll never do. He'll never let you down, run around, desert you, and so on. The lyrics are a pledge of fidelity, stability, and truthfulness. And perhaps I should take these lyrics seriously in understanding the Rickroll. This suggests that despite the redirection, the Rickroll is exactly what we wanted, or at least what we get. Of course, it's not that we wanted to watch a video of Rick Astley, but the promises of that video, which never let us down, turn out to deliver far more than whatever it was I thought I was headed for, whatever promise site the link sent me to. The break between the link's statement, what I thought I was going to, and its performance, the actual video of Rick Astley, is fulfilled and satisfied through the Rickroll. Looking more closely, the title, Never Gonna Give You Up, supports my existence and persistence on the web. Rick Astley, the voice of linkages, maintains me in ways that the promised link might not. The link might give me up, I might be lost through the link, but Rick will never do that. The Rickroll smooths and strokes our disinvestment in the part objects of the net by a delivery of safety and reliability. The fading of matter on the net is held off for a moment by this singing and dancing figure. I mean, aren't all links Rickrolls of some sort, ways of working through our disinvestment and using the net? Every link prefers an outcome, promises an answer and destination. Yet every link I click gives me the sense that I've been given up. It's never satisfying. No link satisfied, but every link tees. Rick is far more reassuring. He closes the opening of the link. He maintains me. He never gives me up. The WebDriver Torso channel, the second channel, uploaded over 490,000 videos since September 2013, with hundreds of new videos continually added daily up to the present. I mean, if we open up the channel here, there should be one uploaded 5 minutes ago, 23 minutes ago. Hundreds of videos continually added daily. Almost all the videos consist of slideshow sequences. The number vary, but it's typically around 10 slides. The length of the video varies greatly, but they're typically around 11 seconds. Initially, the names of the videos began with the word aqua, followed by random characters. Eventually, the videos were named beginning with TMP, followed by random characters. The slides are colored and can be described as Mondrian-like, rectangles of red, blue, and white. There are notable, well-documented exceptions. There's a 5-second video labeled 0014, which shows an image of the Eiffel Tower at night, the illumination invoking the colored slides on the typical video. Before ending, it pans from the tower to a laptop held by the videographer. And then there's this one, TMP RKRL85. Which moves from a typical slideshow to a silhouette of Rick Astley dancing. Clearly we have been Rickrolled, but the satisfaction and destination are unsettling. Go to Google for a sec. Satisfaction and destination are unsettling, reinforced by the fact that we only get an outline of Astley, a ghostly Rickroll formatted against the familiar WebDriver torso colors. Like Pronunciation Book, a large community engaged in wide-ranging speculation and computational analysis about WebDriver torso. Was it aliens, an alternative reality game, a number station? After a year of posting, the channel was solved, or maybe solved, in January 2014 when some sleuthing by dedicated Reddit members led to the announcement that the channel was used by Google, the owner of YouTube, to test video quality. As a kind of proof, if you type WebDriver torso into Google, which I'll do, WebDriver torso, the icon turns to the WebDriver torso. Finally, when pressed, Google released the statement, "We're never going to give you uploading that's slow or loses quality, and we're never going to let you down by playing YouTube in poor video quality. That's why we're always running tests like WebDriver torso." For many, there's something odd and false about this Rickroll revelation. Why use these algorithmically generated slides to test video quality? Was WebDriver torso some kind of cover for some other operation? After all, why the secrecy? The third channel, Unfavorable Semicircle, remains enigmatic, and its suggestion of writing is hardest to imagine reading. It eludes the imaginary, offering no clearly connoted images, at most a constellation of dots and marks. Starting on April 5th, 2015, Unfavorable Semicircle published hundreds of videos daily, very much like WebDriver torso. The images were vague and hazy. On February 25th, 2016, so less than 2 months ago, or about 2 months ago, the channel was abruptly shut down after publishing over 96,000 videos in less than a year, with a statement that it violated YouTube's terms of service. This is despite the fact that none of the videos contain any ostensible comment beyond the content beyond the cloudy images. The YouTube shutdown seems to rule out that the channel was another in-house video quality testing site like WebDriver Torso. The Reddit investigators found a trail through garbled text and YouTube comments, which led to a Twitter feed and a new YouTube channel called Unfavorable Semi. Now, these are some archived ones. It's 5 seconds. So there's a new YouTube channel called Unfavorable Semi where new uploads began. The videos, both in the old and new channels, tended to be short, several seconds in length, but one lasts almost 7 hours. The images are more abstract than WebDriver torso, appearing like a miasma or cloud, at times dark, occasionally flashes of light. Many include a deep voice uttering something. Words that cannot be understood. Others contain long passages of seemingly white noise or audio static. The patterns in the voice appear random, noisy, and unreadable. Whereas Pronunciation Book couples image and voice into a simulation of how to pronounce, albeit with often mysterious content, here image and voice are decoupled and resist any connotation. There's not enough of either to suggest purpose or message. At best, there's the suggestion of some ordered image and a suggestion of a voice. Well, what if the anomalies are structural results of the net itself? That is, a level of the net so deep it can only manifest itself as unreadable videos. This is the most common speculation, that the channels result from unknowable computational or conspiratorial operations in the depths of the web. In these theories, the only possible decryption is a continuation of the mystery. There's no way to kind of finally decrypt it. One can almost just follow these clues. In such speculation, the community deciphering of the channels references the deep or dark web as the ultimate and unknowable source of the uploads, or rather the deep web versus the dark net, and then dark nets versus the dark web. To be clear, the first, the deep web, is that part of the web not indexed by search engines, including content that's hidden for proprietary or private reasons, remaining blocked by robots.txt or hidden behind firewalls. It would also include dynamic or contextual content, web pages delivered only on the fly. Finally, it would also include derelict pages, unlinked or lost. Estimates are that the deep web is hundreds of times larger than the surface web, i.e. the web we commonly use. Evidence shows that discussion of this invisible web in similar formulations appeared as early as 1994, that is right at the origin of the web. The term the deep web allows a gesture towards the vastness of the web beyond what can be shown or accessed. Deepness is spatial. A certain amount is visible, indexable. The rest is hidden like an iceberg. But the term is also temporal. Only a certain aspect and part of the web is available at any moment, and dynamic content means the web is constantly changing. The deep web's size cannot be measured. It is built and destroyed at every moment. Its depth is the depth of the transitory existence and flicker of the screen. In this sense, to read deeply is a protocol that engages with and seeks to narrativize the ephemeral and temporal quality of the web. The darknet and darknets, by contrast, are particular networks overlaid on the net for the purpose of privacy or concealment. Such darknets create deep content. The point of the darknet is privacy with many possible motivations. Users typically access material with the Onion Router, Tor, and other specialized software. Finally, the dark web is a name for all the sites and contents in those dark nets. Why the distinction? The deep web is by definition larger than the dark web, since the deep web includes matter that is clear or accessible. It's legal, but it's not indexable because of its dynamic nature or other features. Whereas the dark web, by contrast, is entirely characterized by avoiding exposure. It's associated with criminal activity, most famously the Silk Road case. Certainly there are depths to the web, but these speculations also function as techniques for deepening or making deep. The easy confusion of deep and dark net, slipping in obscurity even in the discussion by those supposedly in the know, points to the way these terms describe both particular layers to the net and structural effects of some elusive net as the whole. Surface phenomena can be articulated with deep and dark origins. The result is an autoproductive or autopoetic theory of the net. Deep and dark refers to this ground of self-production. The terms figure the net as a whole in its ongoing existence. The suggestion of writing in the anomalous channels, the invocation of readable marks, explicit in Pronunciation Book's infographics, connoted in WebDriver's series of colored squares, appears to be inscribed messages from the web itself without allowing us to read them. The non-reading and non-comprehension is the mediation without message of and by these depths. In this way, we participate in the net as such. And I'm just going to wrap up here by talking about the efforts to solve this by the Reddit community. Here's some examples here. The efforts to solve these anomalies by the Reddit community are staggering. They scan the code of thumbnail JPEGs taken from unfavorable semicircle, since that's the most mysterious of these. Or they scan the audio tracks using spectrum analysis software, true RTA or SPK, which are typical programs. They search for patterns using Base64 binary to text encoding, looking at ASCII decrypted from audio and visual information. Are there messages hidden stenographically in the material or across the audio spectrum? The cloudy images and the barely heard and not understood voice on unfavorable semicircle I played you a minute ago is analyzed into long strings which may contain encrypted data. Similar efforts at decryption are expended on anomalies such as Cicada 3301 and A858. The former, Cicada 3301, and that's in fact the topic of the next paper I'm writing after this, was a series of cryptic, people familiar with Cicada 3301? Probably the most famous and kind of unresolved mystery in this community. Series of cryptographic and other puzzles and possible alternative reality games posted on four separate occasions that may be used by the NSA to recruit code breakers, maybe a game, maybe a literary hoax, nobody's quite sure. The purpose of the recruitment is still mysterious, as is the organization in the background. A858, another example, has posted random strings to Reddit daily for more than 5 years. And this is an example of people, this is ASCII decoded from the JPEGs, people trying to find patterns in this. The community will carefully, excruciatingly, exquisitely pick through the code, seeking a message, and no message will suffice. The effort is sacrificial and endless, a deepening and supplication to the net, data that trickles rather than links, invented pathologies in a condition of disinvestment with no content to work through. It's not simply imaginary. This is a hysterical community, articulated and able to communicate in relation to the excess and mystery of the anomalies. This impossible relation is tied to computation, to revelation through writing discovered in computational processes, an unreadable and impossible writing that never turns to a message, and that turns away from any message, committed to what is latent but never read in the web. The hysterical community around messages retells the dreams of a non-human lying deep in its house in the net that lies and waits. Thank you.